Okay, thank you very much for the invitation. It's very nice to be here. As I was already here 3 weeks ago and I talked about for this conference on 5D and 6D superconformal field theories, and I talk about the Eastern theory, I decided to talk this time about something else, which is some earlier work based on these two papers, and it's about M-strings and their orbifolds. Okay, so let me start by just telling you what these M-strings are. So first of all, we want to start with a geometric setup. So here we consider a system of parallel M5 brains. And suspended M2 brains. So what we have is we have an M5 brain here in flat spacetime, and we have M2 brains stretched between them. Okay, so now we parametrize the R1,10 of M theory by coordinates xi, where I is running from 0 to 10. And then we want to assign coordinates to these M5 brains, so their world volume is six-dimensional, so we take them to be extended along x0, x1, x2, and so on until x5. Then we take the separation direction to be x6, and they should be parallel. So we separate them. We separate them along this x6 direction, and this breaks this R symmetry of these M5 brains because there is the transverse space is five-dimensional, so you have an SO5 R symmetry. But once you extend, you separate them, you break it to SO4. So that's the remaining R symmetry. That's the basic setup of the problem. Now we want to look at these M2 brains and their world volume theory. So the world volume of M2s is given by the coordinates x0, x1, and x6, and they have a boundary inside the M5, and that boundary is given by the coordinates x0 and x1. So in particular, we see that this the boundary inside the M5 is a string. So so we basically arrive at a string inside the M5, and this is what we call the M string. So this is the notation. And furthermore, we see that due to the presence of this string, the symmetry of the problem is broken from SO5,1 to SO1,1 times SO4, and this is the symmetry of the strings, Lorentz symmetry of the strings. Furthermore, we want to look at the supercharges, which are preserved. So, because we have these 32 supercharges from M theory, but just a subset of them can be preserved, and that is given by the condition gamma 0, 1, 6. So that means just gamma 0 times gamma 1 times gamma 6. Times epsilon is equal to epsilon. And furthermore, epsilon should be equal to gamma 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so this is the M5 brain condition, this is the M2 brain condition. And from these, we learn that only one quarter of these 32 supercharges survive. So we can furthermore write how they are organized. They organize themselves in the form 2,1, 2,1, 1 plus 1 half, and 1.2 and 1.2 minus 1/2. So what this means is that if you think of these as they basically come into, if you think in terms of the R symmetry of these strings or M2 brains, it's SO8. And this is one R4, this is the other one. This is, let's say, the parallel and the perpendicular one. And they are fundamentals and fundamentals here, and anti-fundamentals is there. And in particular, you can see that the chiralities of all these is the same. So we always have the same chirality. And so again, this 2.1, this means just that we have here the SO4. This comes from the SO4 part, which is parallel to the M5 brains, and this is the SOR4 part, which is the perpendicular direction. And this guy here, this is the chirality of this spin 1.1 of the M strings. So that's what the notation here means. And also, one observes that these surviving supercharges transform as 8s of spin 8. Okay, so this is the basic setup, and now we want to compactify this setup on a circle. So up to here, everything was in a flat spacetime, but now we want to compactify on S1. So here we recall that we have an R4 parallel. By that I mean this is the space parallel to the M5 brains. It's X2, X3, X4, and X5. And then we have this R4 perp, which is a perpendicular directions. It's 8, X9, and X10. And once we compactify, we compactify the x1 direction on a circle, and while at the same time we fiber this R4 transfers on S1 in the following way. So we introduce a U1M action, which sends the coordinates W1, W2. By these are two complex coordinates which parameterize this R4 parallel. And we send them to e to the 2 pi I m W1 to the minus 2 pi I m W2. And what this does for us is this engineers this geometric setup. This is a twisted background now. And this engineers in a 5D theory, which is the 5D n equal to 2 star or n equal to 1 star, depending on the conventions. So the 5D theory with 8 supercharges by deforming the maximal super Young Mills by giving a mass to the adjoint hypermultiplet. So that's what this is, the geometric underlying of that theory. So what we get this 5D n equal to 2 star with an adjoint hypermultiplet. And the mass is given by this M. So by this twist introduced here, okay? And also, it is known that this 5D theory has instantons, which can be understood as KK modes along the compactification circle. So these are instantons basically with instanton number k. If you have kk momentum k along the S1, then you get instanton number k. So for example, if you write k over R1, this is just minus 1 over 8 g Young Mills squared d4x trace average f. And furthermore, this setup can be extended by allowing not only 2M5 brains as depicted here, but also many or MM5 brains to be parallel to each other and separated. And that gives us, so this particular case gave 5D U2 theory, SU2 theory, and the general case gives you the 5D SUM theory. So, and there again, one can consider these M2 brains suspended between the M5 brains. Okay, so let me just write this down. So we have an M5 brain here, and then we have further M5 brains, so that we have altogether MM5 brains. And they are at positions AM and so on, A3, A2, and A1 along this x6 direction. And you can take a number of M2 brains suspended between these. So let's say this is 1, 2, till N, 2 here. And here we take, again, many M2 brains, 1, 2, and so on, N1. And it goes on like that. So these are the M2s. And I just talk about one particular M2 brain there, but you can just take LM strings or LM2 brains. Let's say this, if this is equal to L, then they wrap this circle with momentum and have momentum K along it. Then one gets state, BPS states with mass L times R1 times delta ij plus K over R1, which is or K and L, R, and C. This is the basic connection to this this is the BPS states of this 5D theory. And this general setup written down here, this is known as this represents the Coulomb branch of the AM-1 2,0 theory. With a particular mass twist, supersymmetry has actually been broken, but this is the starting point. This is the UV theory. So now we can compactify further on another S1 and introduce further twists. So that third part. So S1 times S1. That we compactify the x0 direction on S1. And then we introduce another twist. So we introduce now a U1 epsilon 1 times U1 epsilon 2 action, where we send Z1, Z2 to e to the 2 pi I epsilon 1, Z1. So this Z1, Z2 here, this is this R4 parallel, 2 pi I epsilon 2, Z2. And furthermore, we want to send, in order to preserve supersymmetry, we need to introduce also a rotation in the R symmetry, which is realized by a U1 in this R4 perpendicular. So W1, W2, they are sent to e to the minus pi I epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2. E to the minus pi epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2. So this way we can preserve supersymmetry while compactifying, introducing a general twisted background. And the supersymmetry we preserve this way can be summarized in the following table. So we have some values for these parameters epsilon I and m, and we have the preserved SUSY. So for example, if you set all these parameters to 0, then we have 4,4 supersymmetry on the world sheet. So this is the this was the starting situation there, but we can actually turn on these parameters and break the supersymmetry down. Yeah. No, minus here. This is minus. Yeah. So minus pi I epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2. This is just because it should be, if you want, it should be in the Cartan of SO8. The sum of these should be 0. That's how they are chosen here. Otherwise, you will break the supersymmetry. Otherwise, none of the 8 supercharges, the 4 left-moving and the 4 right-moving ones, which are there, none of them would be preserved by this twist. It would be completely broken. So therefore, we need to rotate in this R-symmetry space such that the sum of these is 0. That's how it is chosen. Yeah, this W1. Yeah, this is the geometrically, this is the perpendicular R4 space, perpendicular to the M5 brains. Yeah. Sorry. So now I see your point. This is omega 1 and this is omega 2. Is it that way? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so if we set all these parameters to 0, then we have the full supersymmetry on the world sheet. But if we send epsilon 1, let's say, plus epsilon 2 to 0, then we just preserve 4, 0. If we set m equal to plus minus epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 over 2, then we preserve 2, 2. And if we send m equal to plus minus actually, it is here was a minus sign. Sorry. Here was a minus sign, and now we have epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2. Here we preserve 2, 0. I put a star here. I'll explain in a second what I mean by that. And if you put m not equal to 0, but the epsilons also not equal to 0, so we have the generic situation, then only a 2, 0 subset of the supersymmetries is preserved. So this star here means that there is an extra fermionic zero mode on the world sheet, which leads to the vanishing of the elliptic genera of these M strings. I'll discuss that later. So there is an extra fermionic zero mode. Okay. How does it work here? Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah. Okay, so are there any questions up to this point? Yeah, otherwise, I'll go to the next part. So here, this was the main M-theory realization in terms of M2 and M5 brains of this system. But one can also realize this gauge theory through a type 2B web or PQ web. And that is actually, to some extent, very powerful because it allows us to compute the BPS spectra of these theories and relate them to the BPS, the generities, which are just related to the strings and so on. So that's why it's important that I want to review that. So we have a type 2B brain system. But as is also well known, this type 2B brain systems can, which geometrically engineer certain gauge theories, they can be lifted to toric Calabi-Yau manifolds. So when one gets both descriptions at the same time, somehow for free, once one understands one of them. So this leads again to yet another realization of this gauge theory, namely in terms of M theory compactified on that Calabi-Yau threefold. Let me start with this PQ web. So what one needs to do, one needs to take D5 brains and NS5 brains, and this is 1,0, and this is 0,1, and then one has 1,1 brains here, and here is again a D5, and these 1,1 brains, they parametrize, or their length parametrizes this mass deformation. So if we would put them to zero, we would have the full maximally supersymmetric theory. Actually, it's not quite the full maximally supersymmetric theory, because the presence of this NS5 brain breaks it still. But this mass is exactly that mass introduced there. Now, in order to get, this is still a 6D theory, in order to get a 5D theory, one needs to compactify these D5 brains, and the radius of this direction will be proportional to the gauge coupling constant. So one compactifies this, and what one gets is one assigns a radius or a volume to this direction, and this is tau. And we also have this separation, and this I call TF. And this will be the Coulomb branch parameter of this gauge theory. So again, to just summarize it, we have these NS5 brains. They are wrapping R5 times S1. There is also an internal S1 here, because we want to compactify. What do I do here? Yes. So what I want to do is we want to, at the end of the day, we want to compactify on S1 times S1. We go down to 4D. So therefore, there is also an S1 which is common to D5s and NS5s. So the D5s, they are wrapping R4 times T2. And then we have the intersection of them, which is R4 times S1. And if we take M D5s, then we get, so here I have just depicted the case M is equal to 2. But in general, we get UM N equal to 2 star theory. And we can, as I said before, interpret this type 2B PQ web as a toric web or a toric diagram for a non-compact Calabi-Yau, where these loci tell you where one cycles degenerate. So this is a T2 vibration. The Calabi-Yau picture, the Calabi-Yau is a T2 vibration over R4, where on these loci and this R2 subspace, certain PQ cycles of this T2 degenerate. And then you get the Calabi-Yau. So this way, one can also lift the whole thing to M theory. And this is M theory on an elliptic local Calabi-Yau threefold. So why is it elliptic? It's because this direction is compactified, but then we have also a T2 vibration over this plane here, and one of the T2s shrinks, but at this locus, but one of them is still there, and one of the S1s, and together with this one, they form the elliptic fiber of this Calabi-Yau. So mathematically, it's the Calabi-Yau is a vibration. It's the anti-canonical bundle over some divisor. And this divisor is locally, but not globally, just T2 times P1, where the size of this T2 is tau, and the size of this P1 is TF. That's another setup. And if you compactify M theory on this Calabi-Yau, you also get this 5D N equal to 2 star theory. And now, once we have all these things, we can start doing computations. Now, knowing this Calabi-Yau allows us to put the topological string on it and compute BPS degeneracies. And that's very interesting, because that leads to some surprising insights into the BPS states of the 5D theory. So So for example, you can now look at the more complicated case where you have many of these D5 brains here. So we have 1, 2, 3, and so on until M. And we have all these masses. They should be actually equal, the masses. And we have these distances, TF1 and TF2. Those can be different, and they parameterize the Coulomb branch parameters. So here in this toric diagram, we have some vertical direction, and we have a horizontal direction. Okay, this is very crucial, because in order to compute the refined topological string associated to this toric Calabi-Yau, which is the same thing as computing the Nekrasov partition function, the fully refined Nekrasov partition function associated to that 5D theory, one needs to make a choice for what is the preferred direction. That's how this topological string is built. And one gets very, we get very surprising results by changing this choice of preferred direction. So let me explain you what I mean by that. So there are two cases. So we take the preferred, refers to the computation. So we take this preferred direction to be along the vertical axis. Then we can compute this partition function, this M theory partition function, or partition function of M5 brains. And that leads to the following expansion. It's Q tau to the K times ZK tilde T. And this guy depends on TF, M, epsilon 1, and epsilon 2. So on the general twists of the background. But this power here, this Q tau, as I said, tau is related to the gauge coupling of the theory. So this here, this means that this is a K instanton contribution. So this is this K here is just the instanton number. This is the usual story when you compute these partition functions. So this is the familiar expansion. But now you can choose the preferred direction to be along the horizontal axis. So and that leads to a completely different expansion of the same partition function. So you again get a sum. But now the expansion parameter is not Q tau, but QF, which is e to the TF. And you get another quantity, ZK now, which depends on tau, M, epsilon 1, and epsilon 2. And this guy here is modular, because tau is the complex structure of this torus here, of this torus associated to here. It was taken just to be S1 times S1. But if you take a general torus, then this tau is associated to the complex structure parameter. And this is a very nice interpretation. Namely, this is just, you can interpret this as the elliptic genus of K M strings. So what this tells you, so I'll argue in a moment why this is the case, so one can prove it from first principles. But what one can see already is that the full BPS degeneracies, or at least the Nekrasov partition function of this theory, is captured only in terms of the strings. So once you know the BPS degeneracies associated living on the strings, you can reconstruct the full thing. So the strings are the fundamental objects of these gauge theories. And moreover, they are the fundamental objects of this 2,0 theory, which using them, one can reconstruct many of the properties, for example, this partition function. So yeah, now I'm going to explain what, in terms of gauge theory, these two different expansions mean, or what, because they seem somehow to describe two different dual descriptions of the theory. So what are these dual descriptions? OK, any questions to the definition? OK, so In order to understand these dual gauge theory descriptions, I'll generalize the setup. So first, we started with this 2,0 theory. But now the general setup which I want to use is to start with an orbifold of this. So one takes the transfer space of these M5 brains and mods them out by Zn, which could be resolved to a K3. But this would be an orbifold, just transverse to them. And this breaks down the supersymmetry down to 1,0. So we are dealing now with 1,0 superconformal field theories. But taking this n eventually to be 1 gives back this result. So, and this leads to a quiver description for these M strings. And also, more generally, they are orbifolds. OK, so in order to understand that, we need to again write down this brain setup. We had these M5 brains and these M2 brains. So we take M of these and K of these. Then we have x0, all these coordinates, x1, x2, x3, x4, x5, x6, x7. x8, x9, and x10. And gain associate geometries to these. So x0 was a circle, x1 as well. This guy here, this was the thing we called R4 parallel. And then we had, this actually going all the way to here. This was the separation space, x6. And now the main modification is that we take this transfer space to be an orbifold, which is an an minus 1 singularity. But I don't want to write it in terms of an an minus 1 singularity. I want to write it in terms of Taubnut, an n-center Taubnut space. The way this can be done is just by resolving this an minus 1 singularity and then also keeping the circle at infinity finite. This is just the way to go to this Taubnut space, but this is regarding supersymmetries and so on. It is on the same footing as this an minus 1 space, and this is just a deformation of it or a resolution of it. So going back to the circular limit, the singular limit will give you back the an minus 1 singularity. And now these M5 brains, they are extended along these directions here, and here they are just points. They are these points ai. And then the M2 brains are along these directions. And nothing is going on in the other directions. And again, for n equal to 1, we get back the usual M strings. And for n greater than 1, we get the Zn orbifold of M strings. Okay. So what can we do? We have this brain setup, and the thing to do is to compactify this geometry in two different ways, and or look at two different duality frames by taking, first of all, in the first setup, the x1 direction as the M theory circle. And in the other case, we want to take the x7 direction as the M-theory circle. And this leads to completely different gauge theories. So OK, x7, what I mean by that is this is taken to be the Taubnut circle. OK, so once we take this path, we arrive at type 2a with MD4 brains, because these M5 brains will become D4 brains. And they are probing an a n minus 1 singularity. Now we can do t-duality along the Taubnat circle, and this leads to type 2b. This is type 2b, where we have m d5 brains, so d4 brains become d5 brains. And we have also n ns5 brains. The ns5 brains arise from t-dualizing this an minus 1 singularity. So this singularity goes away, and we get ns5 brains. And this is the familiar situation. So for n, if we put n equal to 1, then we get back the theory we had. Namely, we get 1 ns5 brain and m d5 brains. That was this PQ web. I think this is here, but we would get back up to this mass deformation, that picture. Okay. So for n equal to 1, we get back PQ web. Now, this thing, this is the more, the rather surprising path. So first of all, we get, by taking this to be the mth reciprocal, we get a gain type 2a. But now we have m ns5 brains and n d6 brains. Because the if you take the center of Taubnat or the Taubnat circle to be the mth reciprocal and compactify along that, then we get that at each of the centers of Taubnat and type 2a, we get a d6 brain. So we get n d6 brains. Now we do again a t-duality. But this time along x6. So we take this this x6 direction, this one here, to be actually circular. We can send this, the radius to infinity later, but we take it to be circular and do a t-duality along it. What we get is type 2b. And we have n d5 brains probing a m minus 1 singularity. Okay? And that's because these ns5 brains, t-duality transforms them into geometry. They become a minus 1 singularity. And this theory is the new theory. This leads us to the, this is what I call the dual gauge theory, which is living on the d5 brains here. And this has a nice quiver description because it is actually the orbifold of the theory of nd5 brains, namely the zm orbifold of this theory. And these things have been studied. And what one gets is the following. One has here a u k1. I'll explain this in a second here, what this means, and uk3 and so on. M. And here we have fundamentals, and the flavor symmetry group for each node is SUN. And here as well, we get SUN, so SUN1, SUN2, and so on. And we get fundamentals for each of these neighboring UK. So what do I mean here? So actually, SUNM, the same thing goes here. It goes in a circle. So this is just the, this is the quiver from the point of view of, so the outer quiver actually is the quiver describing the theory of this D5 brains. So it's just a circular quiver in this way. But what I have written down here is that if we follow these M2 brains through the duality, they become D3 brains. So what happens is that we have this AM minus 1 singularity. We can blow it up. We get P1s, and we can wrap the three brains, or K1, K2, and so on, the three brains along these P1s. And the theory living under the three brains is given by this quiver, by the inner quiver. And that's the viewpoint we want to take, because this is actually the theory living on the M strings. So it's this quiver with these flavor symmetries and this multiplet structure. OK, but what exactly are the parameters we had already described there? What are they exactly in terms of this quiver? So if we can understand that, we can actually do a computation just for this quiver and regain the topological string or the Nekrasov partition function or the elliptic genera for these strings. So everything is given here. And as I will tell you, it will be possible to actually do a computation here and forget about the topological string, because you just get the same thing. But here you have much more. You can also look at various Higgs branches and Coulomb branches of this and find different descriptions. So OK. Let me. So OK, again, what are the parameters of the original geometric setup in terms of these, in terms of the parameters of the quiver? We first look at the outer quiver. This is the theory living on the D5 brains. And here we have, for each of the nodes, we have a gauge coupling. And this is associated to the mth Coulomb branch param, or the mth separation between the M5 brains and the M5 picture. So also, we have bifundamental masses, but we set those to 0. So all these bifundamentals between the boxes there, we put them to 0. And then we have this inner quiver. Here we have the theory on D3s, which are wrapping P1s, which come from resolutions of this A M-1 singularities. So these are blow-ups. And in the M-string picture, they correspond to M-strings such that the volume of these P1s is just AI minus 1. So we had these separations between the M5 brains, which corresponded in the gauge theory to Coulomb branch parameters. They just become volumes of these P1s. And as we know, they are the tensions of these M strings. Okay. Good. So this is how roughly this identification between the parameters go. But now one can do more. One can, as I said, look at the moduli spaces here. So we can study the moduli space of the three brains. And what we get is for each choice of k1, k2, km minus 1, we get the product structure, k1, n here, times m, k2, n, and so on. This is m, km minus 1, n, where each of these factors is the moduli space of k1 instantons of SUN gauge theory. So this is what the moduli space is. And this we identify as the Higgs branch of the inner quiver. And now we can go back and specify to the case n is equal to 1, which was the original problem we started with, and learn something about these M strings. So good, so let me do that. Actually, I can move. Which global symmetry? Yes. So you have all this global symmetry. The global symmetry seems to be naively much higher because for all these SUNs you get n symmetries and so on. But they are actually you have to subtract. Yeah, you have to subtract the relation coming from superpotentials, and so on. So you will get exactly the. So you can do the counting, and you will get exactly the number of parameters one has in the original M string setup. Because this is the orbifold. This is a more general version of the M strings. But you will get the same parameters as expected. It's a bit complicated to go through that, but it works out eventually. So, okay, what did I want to do here? Yeah. So I wanted to specify to the case where n is equal to 1 to learn something about this M string. So. N is equal to 1. So we have moduli space of M strings. This is that of K U1 instantons. Because this SUN here just becomes U1, and we have just one factor here, and we get for K M strings the moduli space of K U1 instantons. And this is described by a 4,0 sigma model. Which for M is equal to 2 takes the following form. We have a map from T2. To this target space, which is MK,1, and this can be this is known specifically what it is. It's namely the Hilbert scheme of K points on C2. So, in a different way, this is the resolution of the space you get if you have K points on C2 and you look at their moduli space, and this is singular, and you resolve it, then you get the Hilbert scheme of K points. Because this is also what you would just expect a moduli space of k points, but the surprise is that you get the resolution. Because why would you expect a moduli space of k points? It's because these in the original picture where we have these M5s here and the M2s suspended between them, we can actually form them here into these planes. And these M2s, if we have k of them, they are just k points here on these planes, so on this R4 parallel. So therefore, it's no surprise that their moduli space should be somehow related to this Hilbert scheme of k points. But one actually gets it for free from this quiver construction, and also the most general quiver can be described in this way. And now one can compute this elliptic genus from a different point of view and confirm the result of topological strings. Namely, one can compute the elliptic genus associated to this sigma model. So to do that, one needs to know how the bosons and fermions transform. And let me just leave that here. And so to do that, one needs to know how the bosons transform. So they are sections of the tangent bundle of this Hilbert scheme of points. And the fermions, the right moving fermions, they are sections of a new kind of bundle, which is called the tautological bundle. And the left moving fermions are actually again sections of the tangent bundle. So that's how the supersymmetry gets broken. And once we know what this tautological bundle is, so this is usually called in the literature E plus E star. This is this tautological bundle. This configuration breaks the supersymmetry down to 4,0. And one actually can compute the elliptic genus associated to this model and regain the partition, the Nekrasov partition function of the theory, or the topological string partition function. Namely, it is just qf to the k, zk of tau m epsilon 1, epsilon 2, where this zk now is exactly the elliptic genus. And if you rewrite it in the most general form for m MFI brains, we have m Coulomb branch parameters, qfm or m minus 1. To the k m minus 1 of z k1 k m minus 1 tau m epsilon 1 epsilon 2. And this thing here is just sum over all these ki, product of e to the minus ki times tension of ith m string. So this is, I'm just writing down the general formula, times the elliptic genus of ith m string. Okay. Now this was the most general thing for arbitrary m, but if we specify again to m is equal to 2, we get that zk is equal to integral over the Hilbert scheme of k points on C2. So this was the moduli space itself. Then mathematically, the elliptic genus can be computed by taking the Chern class, Chern character of this tautological bundle, a certain deformation actually of that, so q tau tensor qm. And then you also take the tot class of this Hilbert scheme. And this computation is done through a fixed point computation, because we can do localization. Using U1 cube symmetry, U1m times U1 epsilon 1 times U1 epsilon 2. And we get a sum over fixed points under U1m times U1 epsilon 1 times U1 epsilon 2 of this Chern character times this tot character. And the result is, let me just write down the result for you and then finish by explaining it. The result is of the form, you take the sum over Young tableau with k boxes. These correspond to the fixed points of the Hilbert scheme. Then you take these ij boxes of a particular Young tableau. Then you have theta functions of this form, theta of tau minus m minus epsilon plus over 2 plus I epsilon 1 minus j epsilon 2 times theta 1. These are just the usual theta functions, plus m epsilon plus over 2 minus I epsilon 1 plus j epsilon 2 over theta 1 of minus nu j transpose minus I plus 1 epsilon 1 plus nu I minus j epsilon 2 times theta 1 of nu j transpose minus I epsilon 1 minus nu I minus j plus a half epsilon 2. Okay, that's it. So by this I mean this is a Young tableau with k boxes. And here, so the numerator theta functions come from the bosons associated to the sigma model. Namely, for k points, we have our Hilbert series of k points. We have exactly 4k bosons. So each theta function represents two bosons. And here we have a product over the boxes in this Young tableau. So we have a product over k different boxes. So altogether, we get 4k bosons. Fermions, actually, because the numerator is corresponding to the fermions, and the denominator is actually the one corresponding to the bosons. So we get 4k bosons and 4k fermions. But they are sections of different bundles of this target space. And the bosons are sections of the tangent bundle, which can be seen by these weights, because these weights here, these are known to be, that's how we computed them. These weights are weights of the tangent bundle under this U1 cube action. So and these guys up here, they are the weights of this modified bundle of E plus E star. And that's the full expression for this elliptic genus of these M strings. So this is just obtained by going to by constructing this quiver and then going to the Higgs branch and computing the elliptic genus of the sigma model, and one gets this. And this is exactly what one also gets from the topological string. So these two results just coincide. So it's a nice that one arrives at these this thing from these two different viewpoints. And there is also yet another third viewpoint which one could take, namely just take just compute the elliptic genus of the actual quiver, 2D quiver theory. So that quiver theory is some gauge theory or the quiver gauge theory. And then these elliptic genera have been computed. There are formally in the literature how to compute the elliptic genus. Just recently, there were quite a few papers on that. And one also gets the same result from there. So from all three viewpoints, one gets this. And it encodes the BPS degeneracies of the strings as well as those of the full partition function by summing up all the strings. OK, so that's all I wanted to say. For higher m, you get just this this particular moduli space there, where you have all these factors, where you have m factors, not just one factor. And the moduli space can be also more complicated if you take these orbifolds, if you have there are moduli spaces of SUN. You go to this 1,0 theories, which are orbifolds of these m fibrin theories. So that's the moduli space, and the quiver was the one I had drawn, and you can do the same thing. It just looks more complicated. It will be similar, but just you will have more products, more terms here. That's what it happens, but it goes through same thing, and you can again construct a PQ fibrain web and compute a topological string, and so on. So it just gets more complicated.